The Behind the Bets podcast with Doug Kazarian is presented by DraftKings. Download the app for free today.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you. This is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into the latest Behind the Bets podcast. I am Doug Kazarian. As promised, an NFL draft props podcast here, and a lot to get through. Christina, we're all surviving here, the quarantine. How are things on your end?
Things over here are going well, or well enough, I should say.
Right. Yeah, I mean, obviously unique territory. We've talked about in the past, kind of all in this together, and we kind of know the situation by now. But the draft is going to feel somewhat normal, much like the 30 for 30 last night. So we dipped our toes in and got the Last Dance first two episodes. And, you know, it was fun to turn back the clock to familiar days. But moving forward, Matt Eumanns of VSiN is going to join us. Of course, he's been on the program a lot. We got to go through each of our best draft props. Also, going to talk with Jeff Davis, Director of Trading over at Caesars Sportsbook, friend of the program, but a first time on the show. I talked to him a bunch for stuff behind the scenes, and he's a character. So I hope everyone can glean some of that on listening to the next 20 minutes with Jeff and then Matt on the back end. But we're going to have a surprise with Jeff as he became famous on PTI. What do I mean by that? We shall see. But with all that being said, let's get to it.
Stop. Hammer time.
Time now to bring in a gentleman I've talked to often throughout the week for several months and years now, but first time on the podcast, Jeff Davis of Caesars Sportsbook. Jeff, thanks for taking the time, man.
Thanks for having me, Doug.
So a lot of interesting stuff going on. It's we have the draft coming up in a few days, but last week you guys posted yes-no props for the playoffs and also season win totals. And, you know, like everything, it's, you know, the betting world has kind of in crossing over to mainstream, if you will. But how about Jeff Davis? Hold on and listen to this, making an appearance sort of on PTI with Michael Wilbon.
I'm going to double down, and I'm going to double down on the head of Jeff Davis, the head odds maker at Caesars, who essentially comes out and says, I guess he's a NFL, you know, analyst extraordinaire or elite. Because he essentially, I'm paraphrasing now, he says, you know, let's see what Belichick's really got. Let's see if he's any good. That's essentially what he says. And yeah, I'm going to take Bill Belichick over Jeff Davis from Caesars 999 times out of 1,000. Maybe this is his one time to shine. But Tony, I'm going with the Buccaneers. Apparently Jeff Davis is not familiar with the notion of coaches and their staffs getting more out of players than he thinks in Vegas. So I'm going with the Patriots. Tony, my own personal number on the Patriots is 10. And Bill Belichick is alone. Is he not worth 2.5, 3 games to you even without Tom Brady?
Jeff, I don't know. I think I lost count. Was it 5 mentions of your full name too? How does it feel?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, even if he's going to call for my head to get me on PTI, I guess any press is good press, right, Doug? No, I mean, I did a lot of work on these season wins and looking through teams and power rankings and yada, yada, yada. And it's kind of being made out to be like hot takey, for lack of a better phrase, but it's really not. I mean, you take a look at this roster, I don't know how else to put it, it's pretty bad.
Well, either way, look, let's take a step away, and obviously it's new territory for a lot of mainstream media. You're not out there to be have a hot take. You have to, you know, the bottom line hinges on your sort of number and then also money coming in. So, look, it's awesome. Things like season win totals are simple, right? It's over or under. It's not, like, too nuanced at all. And I think it's great that PTI discussed it. And look, they're fired up too. And I think obviously there was a little bit of tongue in cheek, so to speak. But if that's the best part about this, our betting world, is that if it's so off, you can go make money off of it.
Yeah, I'd like to. You know, generally speaking, my phrase or my go-to phrase is always, you know, window is open. Well, I guess in these days with the pandemic, the window might not be open, but the mobile app is open. And, you know, these are available for betting. And I look at this Patriots team, and I look after the first, what, six or seven games last year. This is a 500 football team, and, you know, they lost a lot. I'm not sure this is all that good, or, you know, or they're all that good. And, you know, my Belichick comment, I guess, was clearly taken. I'm having a phone conversation with your guy, David Purdom, just about random season win stuff. And, you know, Wilbon wants to like me to an NFL coach, then he should have taken Belichick 1,000 out of 1,000 times and not 999.
So take me through your experience from your eyes is like how you heard about this. I imagine you weren't watching PTI. Maybe you were. Just how did you sort of catch wind of it that you were all over PTI?
Well, I'm from Central Massachusetts originally, and I was getting texts of links from stories in, you know, Massachusetts media. He's his odds maker, thinks the Patriots are going to be terrible, or whatever it was. But it ended up on Massachusetts Sports Radio, and, you know, I just had a pipeline to back there, and that's kind of where I discovered it all.
That's great. Well, I imagine it was pretty surreal. All of a sudden, you're doing your own thing, quarantine, and your phone's blown up because you're on PTI. As for the Patriots, I think it just so much depends on who their quarterback is. I don't fault you at all for the number. The number feels right to me because I think the division, the bottom of the division, is going to be a little bit better in my eyes. But I just wanted to kind of serenade you with Wilbon again because I think it's funny and this kind of came out of nowhere, right?
Oh, for sure. It came out of absolute nowhere, and it was just a phone conversation with somebody trying to write an article about season wins, and he asked me about the Patriots, and I gave my opinion. And who knows who's going to play quarterback? Maybe they go try to get Cam Newton. Maybe they get the trade up in the draft for a Tua. Who knows? But, I look at this roster and their schedule and all the factors, and I look at a 7-9 or an 8-8 team, and I guess that's why what makes it so fun to watch. We all can bet on these things and have an opinion, and I've never wanted to be right more than I want to be right on this one.
I could imagine. I could imagine that professional sort of drive would have that as well. But so I want to switch gears to the NFL draft. I said this a couple weeks ago on the podcast on Daily Wager. I just think the handle is going to be enormous, right? Because we are all sort of scrounging for things that feel right, whether it's ping pong, simulation betting, whatever it may be. But this is the first event during this shutdown that feels sort of regular. And I imagine your handle is going to be off the charts. Kind of what have you experienced so far, and what are you anticipating between now and Thursday?
Well, I think it depends on the state. Like, I think the handle in New Jersey is going to be incredible because the difference is in New Jersey, if you've never had an account with us before, you can just go on your phone and create an account from your couch and put money in with your debit card, scan your ID, and you're good to go. In Nevada, you have to have already had an account because you have to personally sign up. So I don't think, like, while the handle is very good in Nevada, don't get me wrong, it's not some insane number that people are making it out to be because there's only so much money that can be bet. But in New Jersey, real popular. Ticker's always going. Bets are always coming. And, everybody was excited for that USC card that was on the board for about 3 hours a week ago that got canceled. So, yeah, I guess this is the next best thing, and we'll see what happens. But handle in New Jersey figures to be real good.
Yeah, it's going to do more than just scratch an itch, much like your cameo on PTI. Not a lot of sports going on. People are kind of thinking outside the box. Well, this is finally something that is not forcing us to think outside the box. We bet the draft every year, so I think everything's going to go up. Now, what I was sort of processing is, you know, when you guys posted these props a couple months ago, I mean, the mock draft then and the news that was out then, very different than now. You've had a lot of movement on a variety of props, whether it be Herbert head-to-head with Love. It's now Herbert minus 750 at the time of this taping. We've seen Tua drop recently. Even guys like Isaiah Simmons affecting sort of the index betting. How have you handled all that, given that some of this is kind of like, lack of a better phrase, out of whack?
It's an interesting thing to book, because there's very little square money, if at all. Every dollar that's bet is at least, if not sharp, it's at least somewhat educated if we're betting this 2 weeks out. But things change so much with this draft. It's not like you're taking two teams playing a football game and you know who they are, and the only thing that could possibly change is, you know, the quarterback has the flu and he's not going to play, and that changes everything. So all bets need to be respected. But something like the NFL draft, you could take a bet from your sharpest guy 3 weeks ago, and that bet might be completely irrelevant now as, you know, stories come out. And, you know, you look at Becton, the guy who had his drug test flagged. I mean, we hung player to be drafted first, Jedrick Wills or Becton, and we hung Wills minus $2, and they bet Becton down to about a pick'em, and then the drug test came out. Now Wills is minus 360. So you really have to adjust your thinking and almost forget about bets that may have taken place a few weeks ago when there's new news that comes out, because it completely flips these things on their head, and there's no reason to think why they're not going to keep moving around, and there'll be these, you know, random stories that appear, you know, in the next coming, 48 to 72 hours or whatever it is.
That's a great point. So maybe the names technically are the same, but it's almost like a new game on the card, whether it be the Tua stuff or whatever. Don't think about what you took a Tua 2 weeks ago. That was almost like week one of a Jag schedule. Week three is a different game and a different opponent and a different market. So that's interesting. I mean, I think what's also kind of adding to the intrigue of this NFL draft, in addition to no other sports going on in the betting handle, is the fact that just like big names, right? We like quarterbacks. We know quarterbacks as in terms of the masses. So you have a Tua that played for a blue chip like Alabama. In fact, it's all blue chips reportedly at the top of the draft. I mean, you have LSU in Joe Burrow to Cincinnati. Then you have presumably Chase Young of Ohio State. And then you have a mixture of big names, whether it be Brown out of Auburn or some of the offensive line guys. And then you also have big teams like the Giants and Jets at the top of there. So it is interesting that all these kind of are a perfect storm on those in that regard. How have you handled sort of the Tua dropping news? Because I'll say this about just NFL draft in general. There's nobody going to have a perfect mock, right? And it's all kind of predicated on teams that prefer secrecy and prefer misinformation to kind of throw a head fake here and there. And even that, questionable front offices. So even if you're injecting your own advice, or someone like maybe Lewis Riddick is saying this player is good, he might be right in 3 to 5 years, but that doesn't mean the front office that's handicapping is going to pick the right guy. So there's a lot of kind of confusion and uncertainty in this situation,
which is what makes booking a draft so difficult. It's a little easier to book now because it's the only event. If this was normal, if things were normal and the draft was in Las Vegas and the handle was higher, it would actually be harder to book because you're still booking baseball, you're booking NBA playoffs, you're booking NHL playoffs. You can't just sit in front of an NFL draft tweet deck all day. You know, you're doing business on everything else on the board that takes bigger limits, so it's hard to keep up with everything. But now, everything that comes out gets out really fast, and you know, and you're not too far behind, and you're only, you know, when you take a bet, you're only really taking one bet to a number when there's a big move. But to your question about Tua, we opened the Lions and the Dolphins kind of co-favorites to draft Tua, and now the Lions have drifted out to 12-1, and there's very, very little interest in seemingly the Lions to draft Tua. There's been all kinds of injury speculations, and that has led to people kind of picking further down the board. We took a decent bet on the Jags to draft Tua at 9, which, you know, I guess makes sense. The Jags need every position. So, you know, we were as high as 80-1 on the Jags when we opened, because nobody thought he would get past the Chargers. 6 would be the absolute latest he would go. And now there's all these rumors about him dropping down. And then you look around and see other books, their draft position over under was 3.5. Now it's 5.5. The juice is moving all around. So it's hard to say. There's definitely more than one school of thought out there as to where Tua would go. And it wouldn't surprise me if he went 3, and it wouldn't surprise me if he fell a lot further in the draft. I've seen both. And honestly, to me, this is where he goes is just lays out who everyone takes, so to speak. And it, to me, it's probably the most interesting piece of the first round of the draft.
Yeah, it's most interesting because essentially the draft starts at 3. I mean, unless the Redskins trade down, then things get really wonky. But because of Tua's injury concerns, maybe there's really no, you know, market to trade the 2 and sort of one up one another. Maybe there isn't Herbert that much more special. I don't know. But you're right. I think it starts with Tua. I think it starts with the 3rd pick with the Lions. But yeah, no, the Jags thing's a little interesting because everyone's presuming that they're going to tank this year because Trevor Lawrence is going to be available in 2021. So why would they try to take a quarterback, especially when they have Minshew? That's probably why you guys initially posted 80-1. What prop do you think you or not? Do you think you know that you need the most right now?
Well, we need T. Higgins to get drafted in the first round. you know, part of being a bookmaker is accepting and owning when you make a terrible mistake. And, you know, when we put up, will T. Higgins be drafted in the first round, which I don't know, week and a half ago, he was in the first round of just about every single mock I read, you know, mid-20s. I think there was one mock out of maybe 8 or 10 that I read he wasn't in, and it was, you know, I don't remember who it was, but it wasn't one of the more big name, well-respected guys. It was just another sure. mock. And we hung, yes, -650 that Higgins is going to get drafted in the first round. Well, no is now -155.
Wow.
So needless to say, we've taken a couple of bets, both in Nevada and in New Jersey. Yeah, that one is not going to be good. And generally speaking, if a number moves that much, we're not going to win. So, which is what, you know, back to my point I made earlier, it's so hard to win in these NFL draft props because all the money you take is generally sharp. And, you know, when you get one wrong big, you're just not going to win it. And the rest of them just don't make up for it. And, you know, more to the point of how hard it is to book these things, there was Ian Rapoport came out with the Jags just released Marquise Lee maybe 15, 20 minutes ago. We immediately got a bet on, yes, there will be a wide receiver drafted in the top 10 because the Jags picked 9. You know, maybe they waived him because they want to get Lamb or Judy. We shall see. But that's the kind of thing that happens. You have so many props on the board, and, you know, this piece of news comes out, and boom, instantaneously you get a bet.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, like, I thought the same thing when I saw the Marquise Lee news. Then I thought about it more. Given the depth of wide receiver in this particular draft, it really doesn't change a whole lot. I mean, they can still get a guy like Higgins or someone else, presumably at the beginning of the second round, and they need everything like you alluded to. So I don't know if it really makes them more likely to get a wide receiver at 9. Maybe it does, but I if you want to be the first to grab that good number, yeah, of course. But I wouldn't, people listening to this podcast, be chasing steam on that front. In terms of other props, in terms of forget liability, which prop have you positioned the book to want to need because of whether it be sharp information came in, sharp bets, whatever? Like, which one do you feel strongly about that you kind of overcompensated to need a certain side?
You know, it's funny. Generally speaking, during football season, college and pro, you get some early information, you position yourself, you see bets come in, and you kind of get yourself on the right side. NFL draft, my goal is to not get killed. So it's hard to – things change every day. Like, you know, if when the Chiefs are playing the 49ers, you know who's on what side, what to expect, you know, how each offense is probably going to run. NFL draft, just a new story comes out every, you know, every couple hours, and then anything you know or have known is gone. So a lot of it is just trying to get out ahead There really is very, very, very little two-way action on draft props because once things get going, they get going. You just have to stay far enough ahead of it so you're not taking 3, 4, and 5 bets on the same thing.
It's a great point. I remember I did an article a couple of years ago on the NFL draft. And I want to say that was the first year, maybe the second year, it was allowed in the state of Nevada by Nevada Gaming. And it was Darnold and Barkley in that year with all the quarterbacks and Ed Sammons, friend of the program, also over at Westgate. And he's like, they basically took a bunch of hits. They're like, he's like, I don't know if we're going to do this thing anymore. This is just ridiculous. I didn't think the Giants would be dumb enough to take a running back ahead of a franchise quarterback at all. Like it was funny because obviously he knows, and I hope our listeners understand the amount of work that goes into it. And then the monitoring, like you alluded to earlier, in terms of tracking it in the middle of like March Madness and NBA playoff and all this stuff going on, that he was just sort of annoyed because it is so complicated. And to your point, it's always sharp action. So we appreciate it. We meaning like bettors and then also the media because it gives us great fodder and PTI, you're helping produce that show. But it's so fun to do because it's simple, like the over unders, the yes nos and like your T Higgins prop. But I can only imagine it's like you said, it's not like a Monday Night Football over and favorite minus 10 that you just know is just going to, it's expected and going to be a given.
Oh yeah. The decisions are not remotely close and, but then again, we have the one prop we are in good shape on. We have an Alabama players drafted in the first round over under 5.5. The juice has moved up and down. That's the one prop. There's been incredible two-way action on it. And, you know, we're in a good spot. And last year's NFL draft props, one of my happiest moments in my career as a bookmaker, the company won $78 grocery dollars on the NFL draft last year. Never been happier in my life to book a win.
Boom. Well done on that. You avoided disaster. It's kind of like when regular tourists go to Vegas and play blackjack and like break even. It's like a giant win in terms of the moral victory column. A couple props caught my eye. I think you guys are a little generous with your field bet on the exact order of the top three. Because I mentioned earlier when you guys had to post the props, there was obviously different mock drafts out there. There's a lot of kind of dead options in that. I think Field is a live dog, so to speak, in that one.
Yeah, we took a few hundred bucks at 10 to 1, and we dropped it to 8. But it's hard to see it not being Burrow and Young. And if it's not
correct.
Burrow and Young, it's Burrow and Tua. And if it's, I couldn't tell you what it would be if it's not those two. And then, you know, I look through the back end, and I don't know. I guess the only one that in theory it could be that we don't have listed is Burrow, Tua, Herbert. I guess, but
or Brown. I think Brown's in the mix at 3. I think he's going to be climbing some draft boards, trades too, like the trade component to a lot of this. But you're right. So for people listening who aren't familiar, they put up an index betting of like 10 options or so of the exact order of the first three picks. Burrow's one in all of them. So it goes Burrow, Young, Okuda, Burrow, Young, Tua, Burrow, Young, Herbert. You know, there's a few of those. And then the field, just any one of those three, not any exact order, kind of outside of those permutations is a field. So I just think with trades, like I'd be offering like 4 to 1, you know, that's sort of how I would approach it. But you guys do a respectable job with your futures market in terms of your overall handle and sort of what's the term I can't think of in just terms of the whole percentage.
Yeah. And it's the draft. And again, anything's possible. We're ready for things to change really fast. We talked about this one for a while and, yeah, we did take a little bit of money at 10 to 1, but that stopped it. And surprisingly enough, that specific prop is one of our lowest handle props. I thought it would do more, but it actually has not. That one, and then we have a similar one, specific player to be selected 3rd overall. That one hasn't done a lot of handle either. But the other ones have all been have all taken action on pretty much all of the entries.
Well, something we talk about with Super Bowl props, just the easier, the simpler, the better. And that's interesting that these simple like over-unders, the yes-nos. But I found that fascinating. I'm surprised. It is pretty simple, all things considered, both of them. Which player will be drafted third overall, and then the order of the top three. I thought you guys did a nice job in terms of capturing sort of the essence and not making it too complicated. I mean, there's only so many offensive lineman props you can do. But I like that you guys did the head-to-head stuff. I mean, in due time, this is – I mean, it's kind of fun to be experiencing, right, the growth of the draft. I mean, you guys have 33 props, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, in 2 years, 3 years, it'll be 50 probably, just like we saw with the growth of the NFL draft – excuse me, the Super Bowl prop betting. I mean, you're going to have over-unders on second-rounders eventually. And, like, you guys have an index betting on Jalen Hurts, I think was really smart as well. Just given his popularity and, you know, the schools he's played for. And now it looks like the second round is the odds-on favorite there for Hurts.
Yeah, that prop actually has done really well handle-wise. There was a lot of early money on him going in the first round. Looking here, we opened at 11-1. We were all the way down to 6, and now we're back to 11. Thought it was a little bit early, you know, buzz that he might go in the first round. Now you see his, you know, over-under draft number kind of being in the 60s, figuring he probably goes in the second round, which second round is now the favorite, minus $1.40. We took some action there from a couple of different respected players. And, you know, rounds 4 to 7 is 11-1 and it probably goes higher between in the next 48 hours or so, because that's the one in this prop that's had very little interest, and it seems like round 3 will be the latest spot you'll see Hurts go.
Yeah, Mel Kiper last week said that he had a front office member tell him that Hurts will not fall out of the second round. Now, that can change a lot. You know, we see a move like Marquise Lee. There's a domino effect to everything, a trade or a team. Who? Let's just say a guy from the, I don't know, Steelers told him that. Well, maybe there's a player the Steelers had higher that they thought would go 20 picks higher that fell to them, and then everything changes, right? So that's the beauty of this fund. I think you guys did a great job also focusing on teams, like popular teams, right? You have like how the Jets and Giants and the Niners, offense or defense, and then the money line based on those. And I think the Niners one, if I'm not mistaken, not the Niners, but the Jets one, it's like offensive lineman, wide receiver, field, right? Like that's clean and it's fun, and it's obviously you show you're doing your research.
Yeah, and it seems like the Jets are either going to be in on Jeudy or Lamb, or they're going to take one of the linemen. And actually, Field is the lowest handle of the three of those options. So the bettors kind of think the same that we do. They really need a big play weapon, and they need help on the offensive line. So, I mean, certain teams just kind of lend themselves to these props. Like, you can't obviously do this for any team because, like, the Jags need everything. So they make it a little bit harder to price. And it's kind of like, okay, what can we get up that's not going to be, you know, too labor intensive where we can do a bunch more? And, you know, it's simple and people will bet. And that's where that one came from.
Well, I think it's great because obviously with the internet and the apps, there's going to be a larger handle, so you guys are more justified for spending the extra time here and doing it. But, Jeff, look, man, it's been great catching up. I know I talked to you a bunch and pick your brain for a lot of my stuff on air and then also for articles I write and for other stuff. But it was good to get you on. I know our listeners appreciate it. It was good. Hey, PT, I've only had one name mentioned. You had a bunch, so good for you as well.
All right, Doug. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Davis, director of trading over at Caesars Sportsbook. Really is a funny and cool guy. I hope you guys were able to glean that from that segment. Matt Heumann's coming up momentarily. But first, a quick reminder, our coverage of The Last Dance is brought to you by State Farm. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Coverage is also brought to you by AT&T.
Kicking is for losers.
Time now to bring in a gentleman you've heard quite a bit here on the Behind the Bets podcast, Matt Heumann of VSiN. Matt, how are you out there in Las Vegas during this unique time, I should say?
Well, surviving, I guess. I mean, it's a huge disappointment to have the NCAA tournament canceled, the Masters postponed, NBA playoffs still up in the air. Hopefully those can happen sometime in July, but, I mean, it's bizarre. It's nothing like we've ever seen before, and this NFL draft has been the talk of sports betting for the last 5 or 6 weeks. What else are you going to talk about? So, Doug, I have an incredible number of bets in this draft. I think some people are going to laugh, and some would say maybe you're an action junkie, you're sick. That's not the case. It's just for the last 5 or 6 weeks, unlike you, I have not been up in the middle of the night betting Russian ping pong or Nicaraguan baseball. You know, I have not been playing the horses. I've been betting NFL draft props, and some I really like. Some of the bets I have, I would like to get back. I've got a little buyer's remorse, but I've got about 25 bets on this draft. And, you know, we're going to do a betcast, a live draft show for 4 hours Thursday night at VSIN. Brent Musburger is going to be part of it, Michael Lombardi. And we're basically going to update the draft props as they happen. And talk about the first round from a betting perspective for 4 hours. And, you know, each pick is going to decide a prop or play a part in deciding a prop. It's going to be a lot like Super Bowl prop betting, so I'm looking forward to it. I mean, after this, what do we have to look forward to for the next 5 weeks? Not much.
Yeah, I mean, we're all looking for fresh content that's relevant. Mm-hmm. And you can only talk about the Bulls of the 90s for so much this week. So it certainly is a shot in the arm that all bettors and really all sports fans needed when we have this draft. It's going to be fun with the technical difficulties that I think are going to come to a certain extent. Now, to what degree, obviously, we don't know. But, you know, it'll be interesting how it all plays out, that's for sure. But let's talk about I'm glad you mentioned what that
– I was going to say, I watched – part one and two of the Last Dance documentary last night, but you know, we can't bet on any of that stuff. So if you find out a way we can bet on those Bulls documentaries, let me know.
Well, can I bet that whether you were part of the Chicago cocaine circus?
I was not. I was not. I was in Chicago and I covered the Bulls at the
right
time. And I think the cocaine circus around the team had left town by the time I got covering the team in like 96 or 7. Yeah,
I love Jordan's laugh, just authentic on that. So, okay, so I have a couple props I wish I could undo as well. So I'm glad you mentioned that. So just, I don't even know where to start then. What props did you jump on early that you would like to have a little, that you have a little buyer's remorse on?
Yeah, one, I've tried to undo the wrongs I made early. Like I played over four quarterbacks thinking it was a free shot. Okay. And at that point, I think Todd McShay had Jordan Love at number 5 or 6 in his mock draft. And I never thought Love was going to go that high. I've done 3 mock drafts to this point for our weekly magazine. And the highest I had Love being drafted was number 14. And that was before Tampa Bay signed Tom Brady. As a free agent, I had Love going to the Bucks, so I've dropped Love, you know, in the second half of the first round. But you know, I also heard from a good source within the NFL that there was, you know, a decent chance Jacob Eason was going to be a late first round pick at that point when I made the bet. Now, I'd say there's no chance Jacob Eason is going to be a late first round pick, and I don't even think Jalen Hurts, despite some of the buzz, has got a chance to be a late first-round pick. And there's talk Jordan Love might slip out of the first round. So, yeah, I'm not too crazy about that bet. And what I had to do to do kind of undo the damage could have been done there was I played under 4.5 quarterbacks in the first round. I had to lay a big price. I laid minus 450 and minus $5 on that. So I bet that a couple times to, you know, that one's got to win. How are 5 quarterbacks going to go in the first round? So I feel like I'm in a pretty good position now in that prop. But another one I made was Mekhi Becton, the Louisville offensive lineman, to be the first offensive lineman drafted. I took 3-1 odds at the time, which were the best in the market. And I was watching the scouting combine at the time when the guy measured 6'7", 360, ran a 5'1", 140. I see he's a dancing bear. This guy's got a chance to be the first offensive tackle off the board. That's a freak athlete. You know, and I'm not going to pretend that I sit down and break down film of the offensive tackles, and I can tell you who's the most fundamentally sound and who's the best prospect. But when you look at Jedrick Wills and Tristan Wirfs, I've seen those two guys play, and Mekhi Becton, I've read more about him than anything, and Andrew Thomas, who was considered probably the fourth offensive tackle at the time, I like Becton's chances of 3-1. You know, since then, obviously, his drug test was flagged at the combine. There's been a lot of steam on Becton over. I did play a little bit on Becton over 9 at +110 on Friday when I heard about that news. But, yeah, I wish that's one I could take back because I think it looks like Wills or Wirfs will be the first offensive tackle. That was like a half-unit bet on Becton. And that's going to be a loser. I also took Jalen Hurts going rounds 4-7. This was an early bet. I took that at +450. And now that's at like 10-1. So I did not get the best price on that one. I also played Henry Ruggs, the first wide receiver, taken at 5-1. That was the best price in the market at Caesars at the time. I did not think Ruggs was going to be the first wide receiver off the board when I made the bet. But 5-1 was the best price out there. So I played a little bit on that. That was like a half, you know, play, too. I would take that back because I don't think Ruggs has any shot to be the first wide receiver off the board. But, you know, out of 25 draft bets or so, you know, there's 3 or 4 there I would take back. I feel, you know, I feel pretty good about the rest of them. We'll see how it falls.
Couple things. Caesars opened Ruggs like 50-1, took a bet, moved to 30-1. Now it's down to whatever it is, 5, 7, 8. So, crazy, and you never know. Still can't lose. And by the way, for anyone bored, which is basically everyone listening because of the quarantine, go. I tweeted it out, but it's out there on the internet. Ruggs' high school dunk videos. Pretty insane. He played high school basketball. Like a lot of these athletes can play multiple sports, but he hit ups. Let's just put it at that. You know what?
I said opened 50-1.
But it could have been like one bet. You know, it's like it could have been like one sharp bet moved it. You know, it's not like they're like completely vulnerable. Jeff Davis was on the podcast earlier and mentioned that they are vulnerable on some plays like T. Higgins first round. The yes, no, they are definitely vulnerable if he falls the second round. But that one could be just a couple plays. And like you said, I think it's going to be Judy or Lamb.
Yeah, Henry Ruggs is a Tyreek Hill type, and I thought maybe that, you know, that speed would be enticing to some teams drafting up around 9, 10, 11, 12, and there was a shot he'd be the first wide receiver. Maybe it could happen. Man, I didn't realize 50-1 was out there.
It was the opener.
I'd feel pretty good if I had that bet. I would still take the chances of 50-1 or even 25-1. That would be still a pretty good bet.
So it's funny you mentioned Ruggs and the wide receivers. I actually think I was high on the over, but now I'm thinking the under. I mean, because of the depth at the position, we have, first of all, it opened 6.5 at Caesars. We've only seen 7 once, and that was 2004. So right now it's at 6 at Caesars. I think under's the play. I used to think over, but I think because of the depth, you can get guys like T. Higgins maybe in the beginning of the second round. Not that they're Judy and Lamb, but I just feel like we're going to see a run on offensive linemen and also kind of playmakers in the secondary, whether we get corners or safeties. I don't know if we're going to get 6 or 7 wide receivers.
Yeah, I don't think 7 anymore. On my last mock draft, I had 7, but I knew that was probably too many, and I was going to pare it down to 6. I couldn't figure out who to drop out of the first round. I played wide receivers in the first round over 5.5 at -130 pretty early. I always advise anybody who's going to bet the draft to do your own mock draft, and it helps you kind of formulate a plan and your own expectations for how you're going to bet these props. It definitely helps you clarify your thinking process and how you might bet props instead of just firing away. Sit down and make a mock draft and really think about it.
That's excellent advice. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to do.
Don't look at too many mock drafts, though, because your head spins and it's going to convolute your thinking process. But pick 4 or 5 guys who you respect, who you think have the most credibility. Obviously, you form your own opinions, too, from everything you read on this stuff and what you know about the players and the teams. But I haven't changed my mock draft dramatically from the first to the third version. I'm working on the fourth and final version of it today. But I had 7 wide receivers, and I knew I was going to have 6 by the time it was done. And I think I've determined who those 6 are going to be, but still, I think it's going to be a sweat. That's a bet you're going to have to sweat because there are 4 guys who are going to be off the board for sure. And Judy, Lamb, Ruggs, and Justin Jefferson.
Do you think Jefferson's definitely now a first rounder and everything? Because he wasn't initially.
Yeah, he's a first rounder.
I thought so.
Yeah, and he could be off the board by the 15th pick of the Broncos. But
correct.
You know, and then you need two more. I think Denzel Mims, pretty good shot. T. Higgins, pretty good shot. You've got a group of about four guys there have got a decent shot to be a first rounder. I expect a fifth wide receiver to be off the board somewhere by, let's say, the 24th pick or so. And then if that sixth one comes, you're going to have to sweat it. I think it's going to be the 30th or the 31st pick where it comes off the board. The Chiefs have pick number 32 that will not be a wide receiver, and they might trade the pick. And whoever trades up is not going to take the wide receiver because, like you said, the more I thought about it, I said, okay, there's great depth in this wide receiver class, but that's going to work against us over 5.5 because you can see your value on a wide receiver in the second round, maybe the third round. I mean, it's if you're a team looking at, hey, we have need a wide receiver, you're going to say, well, we don't have to address that now. We could still address that in the second round or third round, unless you love one of these prospects. I really like Chase Claypool from Notre Dame. And look at Chase Claypool. He's 6'4". He ran a 4.42 at the combine, and he's a really productive college player. I think the guy is first-round quality, and he's probably going to go in the middle of the second round or late second round. That's a great value pick. So the more I looked at it, I said, man, this is going to be a sweat. I did play Caesars under six wide receivers about a month after I bet the first round wide receivers over 5.5 and minus 130. So I hedged that one a little bit because I do think that's going to be a sweat at the end of the round.
You mentioned the mocks in terms of people you respect. You know, you obviously have a former beat writer yourself. You've been in the newspaper business forever. I guess my question is it's, you know, we get reports of Tua dropping, and this whole thing is predicated on misinformation, right? If I'm a team, I mean, look, the Raiders last year threw the giant curveball with Farrell and that no one saw coming. Giants took Jones much higher than a lot of people expected. So as much as, and I respect the heck out of all these guys, whether it be Schefter or even draft specific guys like Kiper, McShay and other networks as well, like it's still an exact sort of market, right? I mean, that's a fair way to put it. So I wonder, because it only takes one guy to love Tua. It doesn't have to be 32 teams.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, because the last 4 weeks is all about lies, rumors, smoke screens, and speculation, right? So you got to try to filter all that information and figure out what you believe and what you don't. And like you said, it's a guessing game to a certain extent, but that's also why I love NFL draft betting. You know, it's kind of like betting on an NFL game in a way, in that it can be very unpredictable. But I will say, let's see, this is the fourth year of NFL draft betting in Nevada. Okay. The first year, the props up were very bland. There wasn't a whole lot. No specific player props. It was pretty lame, to be honest. Only bet a few props, did okay, whatever. Nothing to speak of. The second year, actually crushed the props, had a phenomenal year. And last year was nothing to brag about at all. Last year was kind of a small loser for me, I think, if I remember right. And Drew Lock, you know, was projected to go as high as 14th, and he slipped to the 42nd pick, and I lost a pretty good bet on that quarterback prop. So mixed results. One big winning year. Last year, small loser. We'll see how this year turns out. It's going to be a little bit hectic with all the action I got on this. But I love the NFL draft, man, and I really like betting on it. And it's going to be just this year, all the eyes on this draft, because that's all we've had to talk about, more or less, for the last 5 weeks or so. I think it's going to be pretty cool. And, you know, the unpredictability here in the top 10 with everything you're hearing about Tua. Doug, I've heard Tua go anywhere from number 3 to number 18 in the past 24 hours from people I respect, from 3 to 18. Think about that. This is a guy who's going to be the number one pick in the draft, tanking for Tua. And I always thought Justin Herbert was the best quarterback prospect in this draft class. I said that a year ago, Justin Herbert's been, you know, climbing as Tua is perceived to be slipping. And we'll see if that turns out to be true or not. Herbert could go three. Herbert could slip, you know, into the teens. Who really knows? Like you said, all it takes is one team. If the Dolphins have decided they love Justin Herbert, he could go third. If this has been a smokescreen and they really are fixated on Tua and they have been all along, Tua could go third. You know, I know one bookmaker put up a prop today. Will Tua fall out of the top 10? And the yes was plus 450 because there's been a lot of talk in the past couple days that Tua could slip all the way out of the top 10. If he does, how does that influence the Raiders at number 12? Do you think John Gruden and Mike Mayock could sit there at number 12 when they need to take a wide receiver, the best one available, or C.J. Henderson, the cornerback out of Florida, makes the most sense for them? Do you think they could sit there at number 12 and watch Tua sit there on the board and pass him by? I don't. I took 30-1 odds on the Raiders to take Tua. I don't know, so what was that, about 10 days ago or so. You know, and Jordan Love could slip to where somebody has a chance to grab him late in the first round. I love it when the draft is unpredictable. That's really not what you want all the time as a bettor. Unpredictability is better for a bookmaker. But just the fact that this there's going to be a lot of intrigue in this draft after the first two picks is going to make it cool. It's like something we need after 5 weeks of nothing in the betting world.
Yeah, I'm with you. We had to post picks for ESPN.com's chalk section. I'm with you on two. I actually grabbed 14-1. I posted that as well. And guys, want to run through. You sent your list. You and I see eye to eye on some stuff. You like Antoine Winfield under 46.5. I took a flyer at 13-1 that he's the first safety off the board. You and I are both on Derrick Brown under 8.5. I think I like it up to like 140. I mean, there's even buzz of him going third to the Lions. So Auburn, defensive lineman, he's as kind of NFL ready as there is amongst those D linemen outside of Chase Young. And kind of like Aaron Donald made that position cool again, right? So we know the pressure that you have to get at the quarterback. Bosa saw demonstrated that in the Super Bowl. I think teams are more sort of open to the idea of an interior defensive lineman. And he's like an awesome locker room guy too. So like really bright, really good guy. So I think Brown, I don't think he gets past Carolina. That's everything I'm reading, so to speak. You and I both on DeAndre Swift, first running back selected. You got plus money. I got small minus money. Now it's at $2. Would you lay $2 that Swift's the first running back?
No.
Yeah. Too unpredictable with Taylor out there. And even a guy like the name is escaping me. Dobbins.
J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah, you have Dobbins under, you know, basically middle of the second round, his over under.
Yeah, you said a lot there. I'll try to wrap it up quickly. I took DeAndre Swift, a running back, first running back selected, plus 115 very early. That was one of the first bets I made, and also played him again at minus 120. But, you know, at the end of the first round, beginning of the second round, I still expect Swift to be the first running back off the board, but it's going to be close. Dobbins has been gaining steam, as far as we know. That might just be media hype and not necessarily gaining steam with the players. Or with the teams, and Jonathan Taylor, who I like a lot. There's not much separating those three guys. And when you're looking at a running back, Scott, you want a guy who's a good pass catcher. You know, you think about Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey. Now teams are looking for a running back who can also be a wide receiver threat. And the guys that can catch 70, 80, 90 passes out of the backfield, like Barkley or McCaffrey, are the most valuable. DeAndre Swift's not a great pass catcher out of the backfield, but he's pretty good. So is J.K. Dobbins and Jonathan Taylor. None of those guys are in the category of Barkley and McCaffrey. But I think Swift grades out slightly better, and I thought plus money on him was great. Even slight minus money on DeAndre Swift I thought was a really good bet. The Dolphins looked like the team to me at number 26. It would be the best fit for him. Looks like there's a chance there might not be a running back in the first round of this draft. I did play J.K. Dobbins under 53.5. I like that bet. That's middle of the second round. You know, he should be off the board by middle of the second round. The Buccaneers are looking for a running back. You know, Tom Brady likes to throw the backs, and the Buccaneers need to find a guy. I think J.K. Dobbins would be a pretty good fit for that team. Antoine Winfield, I like your bet on him being the first safety off the board. I don't think he will be, but he's got the potential to be. The guy's 5'9", 205, rock solid. He had 7 interceptions, 88 tackles last year. He's tough. Delpit might go before. Delpit's 6'1". I think he's a Baltimore Ravens type of player, could go at the end of the first round. But to me, it's kind of a toss-up between those guys. Who should be the first safety off the board? And that's great value you got on that Winfield bet. I'm looking at some other draft position plays I got. I'll mention quickly Justin Herbert under 5.5. I got that at +140. I also played Herbert to be the third pick at 14-1 odds. I really like Derek Brown under 8.5. That's one of my best bets, and you can find that out there now. Derek Brown could go number three to the Lions. I can't really see him slipping below 8.5. Now, the problem with this bet could be if you've got Isaiah Simmons and Derek Brown on the board for the Carolina Panthers at number 7, how do you pass up Simmons when Luke Kuechly just retired? I think that's going to be a really tough decision if that's the one the Panthers face at number 7. And then at number 8, hopefully the team drafting there now, the Arizona Cardinals, will say, hey, we got to take the best player on the board, and that's Derek Brown. A great defensive tackle, really a great athlete, and the type of defensive tackle who can step in and start from day one and make an impact. I played Jerry Jeudy under 12.5. I think Jeudy and Lamb should both be off the board by after the Raiders pick there at number 12. Justin Jefferson under 21.5. Played that. Jalen Reagor, the TCU wide receiver, no to go in the first round at -160. If he does go in the first round, you got to think that wide receiver prop's going over 5.5. Right. And what else? Josh Jones, tackle from Houston, under 27.5. C.J. Henderson, corner from Florida, under 17. I think that pretty much does it for the draft position props I played.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on a lot of those.
Sorry, one more. Jeff Okuda, obviously corner from Ohio State, over 3.5 at -130. Because I've never really felt like the Lions are going to take Okuda at number 3, Doug. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to take a corner that high unless he's Deion Sanders or Rod Woodson or somebody like that. I like Okuda a lot. But if you know, you have to approach the draft. If you're a general manager, you have to approach it like an advantage gambler, right? Are you getting great value if you take Jeff Okuda at number 3? No, not at all. So it makes more sense for the Lions. That's the only spot where he could go, to the Lions number 3, where you would lose that bet. I think the Lions look to trade down. Maybe pick up that second-round pick from the Dolphins, number 39. And if they still want Okuda, they can get him at number 5. They might want Derek Brown at number 3 or number 5. So that was another one I played, and I liked that one as well, Okuda over 3.5.
All right, good stuff as always, Matt. Appreciate you taking the time. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, and it's definitely something we desperately need in terms of the action handle. I'm glad you guys are going to be doing a betcast, but we'll get you back on here soon and hopefully to discuss all the winnings from the draft.
All right, Doug, good luck growing out that mustache, and that's on Russian ping pong, okay?
Well, it's shaved. I am clean shaven now, thankfully. Everybody wins that way. But it was definitely adding a lot of amusement. The Fu Manchu, the beard, everything, and the straight stash. So, all right, my man, let's talk soon.
Okay.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Behind the Bets podcast. Thanks to Matt Eumanns and his multitude of plays, and also Jeff Davis. It was fun to get him on the program, yuck it up a little bit with PTI, but then also crunch the draft bookmaking process. Christine, are you fired up for the draft?
Oh, I am. I'm excited to not only see how it'll play out, but to see where everybody goes.
Yeah, me too. And we've been doing some cool content on Daily Wager. We had a digital show, kind of just overview, like macro, and then our next one we have to tape is going to be for our best bets. And all of us, Anita Marks, Joe Fortenbaugh, The Bear, Preston Johnson, we're all kind of chipping in here with our best bets. I think I'm looking Derek Brown under 8.5. I like the field bet for that third overall pick as my two best for now. A couple other ones as well. I do like the Winfield 13-1, although that's not at Caesars. So good stuff, Christina. Thank you for your help. Thanks again to Jeff and Matt, and we'll see you guys here on the next podcast. Stay safe out there.